Hey everyone, before I get into the message today, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. One is, I announced a few weeks ago that I'm going to be having surgery on March 15th. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. I've been under care at Johns Hopkins, and it's come to a point where we need to take more drastic measures. So I'm going to have surgery the 15th, and I'll be gone for a little while, probably a couple weeks. Let me just reiterate the reason that I've mentioned this and have been public with it. One is to just ask for your prayer for my family, for the medical team, and then for myself. The second reason is to encourage everyone to be really active, take an active role in your health. Get regular medical checkups. You know, I had absolutely no symptoms, still don't have any symptoms of the cancer, but it's there. Regular screening. Guys, ask your doctor to do a PSA test. There are all kind of things that we can easily put off. They're inconvenient, or we just don't feel like we have time, or maybe we don't feel symptomatic. But there's so many things that if we just take a little proactive step with it, it could really prevent things. My particular cancer, the odds are I'm going to do very fine with it. It was caught early. Two things I want to say about that. One is I'll be missing a couple of weeks. So next weekend, my friend Marshall Osberry from Antioch Church will be speaking. I wish I was going to be here for it. I'll be watching it online. Marshall's a great guy, and I think you're going to really, really love what he brings as we continue in this series of trying to get our thinking straight and to get our head screwed on straight. And then the week after that, one of my favorite Bible teachers will be here, and that is Becky. I really do learn a lot when Becky teaches. It's just actually the same with Marshall. Whenever Marshall and I've been together, I always learn something new and something that's helpful. Becky's the same way when she teaches the Bible. So anyway, stay tuned for these. And thanks for those of you that have said you're praying, and several that have gotten checkups as a result of what I've mentioned. We're in this series, Mind Your Inside Voice. We're trying to look at the fact that there are things that you and I think that have a direct impact on how we act. And God's really, really interested in you and I thinking clearly. The most powerful voice in my life and yours is the one inside our head, inside our mind. Becky's drawing here, and we'll be doing more of her whiteboard soon. You know, we need to make sure that we're thinking clearly. It's the right thing is to have question marks and say, I wonder if I'm on track. But too many times what happens is we don't have question marks. We just go with what we think. And that can get us in trouble. A verse that passage that we've used throughout this series is Romans 12:1-2. And it says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. The idea here is that real worship is where I recognize what God has done for me, and I offer him all of who I am in response, just out of gratitude. I'm not trying to gain anything or earn anything. I'm just saying, thank you, God, you have your way with me. Verse 2 says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So this idea of transform, it's the exact same word used for when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's this metamorphosis. God really wants you and I to change from the inside out. He doesn't want us just to continue going our the way we always have and just have more of a religious tent to it. He wants us to really be changed. And that change comes by adjusting how we think, because that's going to adjust everything that we do. You know, you and I make choices every day based on what we think. Now, it may make sense or may not make sense to others, but this is where things happen. So getting inside our head and understanding that when we're talking about thinking, it's just not merely cognitive, but it affects our emotions, it affects our choices, it affects everything, our perspective. So don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And here's the result. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Do you know God has your best interest at heart? And he will never ask us to do something or ask us to stay away from something that isn't absolutely best for us. He's our creator, he's our maker, he's our savior, and he loves us dearly. Unless we change what we are thinking and believing, we will never experience the life God offers us that has real freedom and peace and purpose and hope. This is what God wants you and I to experience. Not based on our circumstances, but based on what he is doing from the inside out and transforming us. Far too often, many of us settle for less. We settle for less than what God offers, and we never experience the life that he has for us. God has really good plans for you and me. And what he wants us to do is not to settle for less, but to strive for all that he wants for us. So, and you know, we can adopt excuses. This settling, it doesn't always sound like settling. In our own mind, we've just said, you know, it's not my fault that I can't do better. It's not my fault that I don't measure up. It's not my fault that this is the best I can do. My parents didn't do better. Society hasn't. There's a culture around me that's tainted me, or, you know, whatever we come up with. It's common to make excuses. Even among those that are followers of Jesus, we can make excuses because we're not seeing a change in our life. Therefore, there's got to be some reason. Jesus explains why many of us don't see this transformative change in our lives. In the Bible reading plan, you'll see this coming up soon when we get into Matthew 22. Jesus says this. He says, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Here's the thing for us to be transformed and to change and become the people God intended. The Bible is absolutely essential to our thinking clear and accurately. It tells us how God designed us, what he has for us, how he wants us to relate to him, how he wants us to relate to others, how he wants us to love him and others, how we relate to nature, how we relate to the world, how we relate even to our enemies. And God's given us clear, accurate, helpful guidelines. But one of the things we discover when that's all we have is, man, this is hard. Loving my neighbor is hard. Loving my enemy, that's impossible. How do I can't do these things. God set me up for failure. And so Jesus is saying, look, your mistake is you don't know the scriptures. So sometimes we kind of ignore certain parts of the Bible that are hard for us, or we try to reframe it. But the second part is what makes sense. He said, your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. God has given us direction for our life, and now he's given us the power that enables us to live this new life the way he designed and intended. If we try to ignore it by changing what we believe is true, we can, but we will not have the result that God says. And if we don't rely on his power, we'll never make it. We'll always fall short. A quick example of that is Jesus' disciples. You know, when Jesus was arrested and then executed, they were shocked and they were broken. They had all kind of dreams about what was going to happen. They really didn't think Jesus was going to be killed. And when he died prior to his resurrection, they were crushed. Then Jesus is resurrected. All of a sudden, they're going back and remembering what he said, including this verse about the mistake is not knowing the scripture or the power of God. And these guys understood it. And they wrapped their lives and their minds around what was true. As a result, going from being cowards and running away from opposition, they went back even to face their enemies and just said, look, the one you killed is the Messiah. He's the one that came to rescue us, and you need to repent. You need to follow him. And they did this at the risk of their own safety. Many of them were arrested. All but one of them were executed for their faith. But early on, when we see they've gone from being cowards to being courageous, Listen to what happens here. This is how it's described in Acts 4, right after Jesus has been resurrected and the disciples have been transformed. The members of the council, these are the religious leaders that had arrested some of the disciples because they were sick and tired of them talking about this Jesus. They wanted this movement to stop, and so they arrested two of the leaders, Peter and John. It said, the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They knew the scriptures, but it wasn't like these guys were experts. He said they also recognized that they had them as men who had been with Jesus. You see, the difference is we are transformed when we understand God's word and we're tightly connected with him, because that's where we have the power. And that's what happened to these men. They went from cowardly to courageous. And it began to be explained that the only way they could explain it wasn't because they had special insight in the Bible. They just understood what the Bible taught. And then they held on, trusting God would give them the power to live the lives he intended. It's pretty amazing. And it's available to you and me. I want to see what I can do to help explain this. And see if we can get back to this idea of whenever we have in our mind that I don't have what it takes, if we're not careful, we can believe that and it derails anything that could lead us to transforming and to really changing the way God intended. So what I'd like to do, I want to try to explain this. There's an illustration that I found that has really helped me over the years, and I'm hoping it'll do the same for you. But here's the deal, and I want to thank Becky again for her artistic ability. God designed us. He created us in his image, and everything God makes is good. And he created every person on planet Earth. He created the Earth we live in. He created the universe. And not only is it good, but he had a special part of that creation, and that was human beings. He wanted us to have a special relationship with him. We're different than the plants and animals and all that. We're created in God's image. Every person on planet Earth was created in God's image. And he wanted us to have this friendship, this relationship with him, where we enjoyed this kind of fellowship and this kind of friendship that would last forever. When he did that, he gave us the capacity to make choices. And along with being created in his image comes that responsibility to choose. If someone doesn't have a choice whether they love or not, it's not really a choice, is it? It's not really love. It's just it's something forced, kind of like a shotgun wedding. God created us with the capacity to choose to love him or not, choose to follow him or not. And every human being on planet Earth, from the very first to have decided to do this. They have decided to sin. Sin is a religious word that just means I want to go my own way. I want to do what I want to do. And we have the capacity to make that choice, but that choice, when it's made, has consequences. And so instead of living and experiencing God's good design, we end up having lives that are broken. And this brokenness shows up in all kinds of ways. You know, we recognize it at times, and so we try to make life work. I'm gonna work really hard. Maybe I'm gonna get married and have a family. Maybe that'll cure my brokenness. Maybe I'm gonna be extremely religious. I'll just do all kind of spiritual things, and maybe that's what will address my brokenness. For others, they try to numb themselves out of it, and I want to ignore it. Some are unaware that they're broken, and they just go on their merry way doing whatever they feel like doing. But the deal is whether I admit it or not, I'm broken. This is what God says. This is the truth. Remember what Jesus says, is you don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. Now, when I recognize my brokenness, one thing I can do is I can just choose to blame others and say, it's their fault. My parents didn't raise me well, or the church didn't do a good job, or my society is whatever it is. I can ignore it and run. That's where people do drugs. They self-medicate. Maybe I can do drugs and alcohol. Maybe I'll just cover it up with work and other relationships or hobbies. I'm going to try some way to try to deal with it. And again, I mentioned before, some people just get into religion and thinking somehow that'll appease God. All of these ways that we try to deal with our brokenness are just coping mechanisms, and they don't really deal with the problem. They definitely don't deal with it the way God has spelled out in the Bible. If you and I are honest, when we understand God's design and we look at where we are in our brokenness, we should come to this conclusion: I really don't have what it takes. So in that sense, this statement, I don't have what it takes, is true. I don't have what it takes to love God and to love others honestly and with integrity and with not letting selfishness interfere. The problem is, we don't like admitting that. We don't like dealing with it. And so sometimes what happens is we begin to redefine what is true and what's real. And you see this a lot. People will redefine. They'll go back and say, well, you know, the Bible probably didn't really mean that, or things have changed. And we redefine it so that it goes along with where we are. And so we don't feel like we're broken anymore. We feel like, oh, this is normal. This is healthy. Let me try to give an example and see if this fits. It would be kind of like, this redefining would be kind of like me saying, you know, I don't like the idea of having prostate cancer. I'd really prefer not to have it and have to deal with the consequences. Plus, I don't feel bad. I don't have any symptoms. Now, I know when I go to my doctor, my PSA number and my blood test, and then my Gleason score, which comes from a biopsy, those numbers are through the roof. And so they show I do have the cancer. So I think what I should do is I should go ahead and change the values of my PSA number and my Gleason score. And then if I can get those down to zero, then I'm fine. See, what I've done is I've redefined the issue. The problem is I haven't cured the cancer. The truth is still the truth. I have it or I don't. And if I do, changing all the metrics is not going to change that. The problem with cancer and sin is this, is redefining, reframing, or trying to change the truth doesn't change the reality. You and I don't have what it takes to really change our lives from the inside out. We can make changes, and we can make healthy changes at times. Like, you know, for me, when I was doing drugs and all that, I gave that up. But one of the things I started doing was exercising like crazy, which is a much healthier alternative. Trust me, I believe that. But it didn't really deal with my brokenness inside. I needed something else to deal with my brokenness. It's fine to change and rearrange things and we have the capacity to make better choices, but we can't really change our heart. We can't really change that sinful part of us that needs to be addressed. And that explains why Easter, why God sent Jesus to come to rescue us and to save us, is because we couldn't save ourselves. If it was possible for us to fix the brokenness on our own, God would have sent us a self-help manual or maybe some Tony Robbins CDs, or he would have had a whole series of TED Talks on how to change your life. He wouldn't have gone to the expense of sending his son Jesus to die in our place. There is no other way. The remedy for our brokenness is something that only God can offer, and he has. And that's simply this. It's when we will recognize that Jesus came. Jesus came to give us what we desperately needed. And all we have to do is to admit that we're broken, admit that we're sinful, believe that he came and that his purpose in coming was so that we could have a brand new life now and forever, and then choose to follow him. And when we do, that good news transforms our life. By coming in and accepting Jesus Christ, I now have a chance to have this brand new life. And I now have God's power. Boy, my marker's not working very good. But I now have the power to change. And that power is leading me to come back and experience God's good design for my life. And that's where I remember what Jesus said. Your error is that you don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. Well, once I've accepted Jesus Christ, I now have a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding. I now have God's power to begin living the design he created. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 1. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. I'm going to say that one more time. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. There is nothing that God wants you and I to do in how we live that is not possible through his power. That's what he said. He's not given us an assignment we can't do when we do it with him. We have received all this by coming to know him. When we have admitted our brokenness, we come down here, we accept Jesus Christ, and now we have God's power to live this new life. He's the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. In other words, his coming, his sacrificing his life is the most marvelous, the most glorious, the most amazing thing in all of history. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. That's what we find in the Bible. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. The brokenness we have in the world. You and I have desires. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. All these things. The problem is we try to find ways to fulfill our desires that go outside of God's design. I want to be loved, and therefore I might be promiscuous. I want to be happy, and therefore I may use work in a way that is irresponsible, or I may use drugs or all kinds of things. There are all kinds of desires that I have that I find illegitimate ways outside of God's design to fulfill, and that creates the problems. That's the corruption in our world. It goes on to say, in view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. We said this earlier in the message that instead of settling, I need to strive for what God has for me. And that putting all my effort into it means that as I now have responded, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, I now have God's power, and I use that. I enable that to happen by striving hard. I put everything I have into it, not looking back. I hope this is making sense. You know, I know some of us here, we've tried and we've failed. And maybe we've had people tell us, you'll never measure up. You'll never get a handle on your life. You're always going to have this weakness or this failure. And maybe we've settled into that because it just, we don't know any better. Maybe we've accepted Jesus, but what's happened is instead of tapping into his power, we've gone back to the broken ways that the world says is how you deal with things. You know, it's interesting how many times I hear people now will say, well, you know, like God's designed for sex. Well, maybe he didn't really mean that. Maybe he didn't really mean that sex is to be between a man and a woman united in marriage. Maybe that's antiquated. We know better. We can do differently. But we can't improve on God's design. And so we just need to decide, who am I going to trust? Who am I going to put my faith in? Am I going to find a way to settle and make excuses? Or am I going to say, you know what? I believe that God really does know best. Let me read this passage one more time. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. When you and I respond to God's promises with his power, we will change. I had a friend, I was just talking about him yesterday to someone else, a friend that had been a powerful executive in both the military and then in business. And he really, really was known for being a mean, well, I would just say mean. He accepted Christ. He became a Christian. And we were talking one day, and he says, "You know, it's interesting. I've had this reputation of being this nasty guy. And now that I'm being kind, I'm trying to figure out how to treat people the way God wants me to. Now people are looking at me and saying, oh, he's got a new ploy. He's got a new way to, he's trying to be nice so he can get an inroad with people." It was like the transformation in him, they were trying to figure out how that happens. Well, you and I know that God really can change us from the inside out. And it all comes simply, if we want to experience this transformation, anyone can have this by simply doing this. And it's something that every kid that's been in our programs in children's ministry at New Hope knows. It's first is just to admit my need for forgiveness and help. Admit that I'm broken. B, this is the ABCs. B is to believe that God sent Jesus to come and rescue me and be my redeemer. And C is just choose to follow him as the leader of my life. When I do, he will give me the power to begin living according to the design God had. And then, and this is so cool, and my marker's not going to work, we get to come and share that with others. As they see a transformation in our life, we get to tell them how it happened and why. So I hope you will really think about this week. If you've not accepted Jesus, please let one of our hosts know or talk to me after the service if you're with us live on Sunday. This is the most important decision you could ever make, and it leads to the transformation that God promises. If you have done this or if you're thinking about it, we also have a baptism coming up soon, and we would love to talk with you about that and see what we could do to help you understand that and see if it's time for you to be baptized too. So anyway, I'm going to turn this over to Sherry Fee. Sherry's on staff with us, works with our children, and Sherry's now going to pray for us as we close out. Sherry, it's all yours.